where nobody knows your name is not recorded in front of a live studio audience. Hello and welcome to Where Nobody Knows Your Name, a Cheers podcast. My name is Troy.
And my name is James.
And we are here today to talk about episode 11, season 10, I'm Okay, You're Defective.
You're defective.
You're defective.
It's a preview of one of the scenes in the episode.
Yes, it is. This episode aired on the 5th of December, 1991. I was the tender age of 6.
I was, but a
twinkle in your dad's eye.
But a twinkle in an ambitious man's eye.
An ambitious stallion.
He's going to be thrilled you called him that.
Marshall Sr., an ambitious stallion.
Yeah. This episode was directed by James Burrows and written by Dan Staley and Rob Long. I think it's my favourite Dan and Rob episode. It's efficient.
Efficient.
Jokes per minute off the charts.
Let's go to the cold open then. So Lilith is making a will, but Frasier is very much troubled by it. Death terrifies him, understandably so. I'm scared of death.
It's a rational fear, isn't it?
Yeah, but it happens to us all, which is the point that Lilith is trying to get over. Frasier's having none of it. I think at one point she asks who's going to get the wok. She's just not fazed by it at all. All seems quite kind of trivial and jovial to her.
So who gets the wok?
The wok? My God, woman, we're talking about death here. My death, your death, the end of everything. Being lowered into the grave in a silk-lined casket.
Yes, and?
And it's upsetting to mammals like me. Look, Lilith, all my life I've had a problem talking about death. I know it's irrational, but I can't help feeling that if you talk about it, it'll happen.
Well, Frasier, it will happen.
Stop it!
What, do you think if I hadn't mentioned it, you'd live forever?
Well, now we'll never know, will we?
And then flip to the other side of the bar. We get Paul. Is that his name? Paul?
Yeah, Paul with the glasses and the suspenders.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. And he wants to know where Cliff and Norm are. It seems like they're ducking him. Like they're just kind of shunning him from the group. He thinks that they're ignoring him. I mean, Carla thinks that it's his looks that are detracting them away from hanging out with him. Bit harsh.
Yeah, and Carla was trying to be nice.
That's Carla's way of trying to be nice. Woody tries to tell him a joke to cheer him up, but it turns out the joke is about him.
He's the punchline.
Yeah. And then Rebecca storms in, complaining that she isn't pregnant. Starts kind of going off like, you know, I'm ovulating and we should be doing it now and we should be making a baby. And Sam reminds her that she needs to use her inside voice, not her outside voice. I haven't heard that used for a while. Use your inside voice.
Yep, that was a thing they said in the 80s and 90s. past the cold open, but it is a busy episode because Rebecca comes in just full power. Just not messing about, yeah.
Full tilt. She thinks that they need to see a fertility specialist because she thinks that there's something wrong with him and not her. Clue for this was in the title of the episode.
I'm okay, you're defective.
Yeah. He thinks that it's because she's mean to him that they can't conceive.
It is a turn off.
It's a little bit. It doesn't really put me in the mood. Puts me in a mood, not the mood.
Yes.
But she kind of realizes, or at least she thinks she realizes that, yeah, she may have been a little bit harsh. And she says, you know, I'm sorry. Here's the card. Call them if you want to. Like, you know, there's no pressure. And he just says, I can't make the call. And so she screams, what, do your fingers not work either?
Yep. It's very much below the belt, I guess is what you could say.
Yeah. Senses of the phrase. So we come back to the bar outside the office and everyone's offering up suggestions to Norm. And this was this to basically put him off his drink or what would put him off his drink or put him off drinking beer? And there's some disgusting.
Rebecca claims she's ovulating. They're like, and Cliff goes, yeah, no, that's can't listen to that. And he goes, I don't care. And it's, but you know what? Good on Norm. He's been a married man for decades. This shouldn't put him off.
Not phased. Not phased at all.
How about losing your balance in a sewage treatment plant?
All right, hear this. How about eating food recovered from an autopsy?
All right, I got one. How about someone coming in from the field who's been working all day while you're sitting out at the dinner table and they got no shirt on and their chest hair's all matted down?
That's kind of unpleasant, Wood, but it's not really gross.
Well, that's because you never met Grandma.
Yeah, I nearly brought my lunch back up off that. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know what the most disgusting line I've ever heard in television is, I know what a lobotomy sounds like.
Sounds like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oi. Not a fan of that.
That's unseemly, I yelled at the screen.
Then we cut back to Lilith and Fraser, who are still growing through the throes of trying to make a will.
All right, Fraser, let's move on to the living will. Imagine you've been hideously mangled and are being kept alive by a respirator. Factoring in the enormous expense, the uncertainty, the heartbreak, do you really want to be kept alive artificially, or can I pull the plug when the nurse ducks out for a cigarette?
By all means, pull the plug. Smother me with the pillow. Save time, woman. Why don't you do it tonight while I'm asleep?
He's going through a hard time this episode.
Yeah, he's been put through the ringer, like, understandably so. Like, no one wants to think about making a will at any age. Like, it's not a nice thing to do. Like, I haven't had to make one. I haven't given any thought to doing one anytime soon. It may well be something that I have to do eventually, but yeah, it's no. I don't know how Lilith's going through this so calmly and, you know, without any fear or issue. It's. Yeah,
it's because she's stared into the face of death every morning when she's putting her makeup on.
Deep burn. Yes, Carla.
Take that.
So then we have a lot of people asking where everyone is. Paul's asking where Norm and Cliff are. Rebecca's asking where Sam is.
Where the hell is everyone?
And Woody says, no one ever asks where I am. And he says, well, it's because you're always here. So yes, but if I wasn't.
Yeah, not while I'm here. There is a whole exchange very similar to that in Catch 22. And the concept is that, do you know vaguely the plot of Catch 22?
I don't, no. I know, shout out to Catch 22 Wrestling School down in Kent, but no, I don't know the plot of what you're talking about.
It's about a pilot in World War II who, in order to get out of the increasing number of flights they need to do in order to complete their service, claims to be insane. But the argument is, well, if you're rational enough to realize you're insane, then you aren't insane.
Right.
Okay. To actually be insane, you wouldn't be aware of it. So he finds himself stuck because he can't, he doesn't want to keep flying because of, you know, stress and trauma.
I see.
But yeah, can't escape it. But there's one character who, and the whole thing is a satire on war. There's one character who, because his surname was Major, quickly got promoted upon entering the barracks. and he's very incompetent, so he avoids any interaction with people unless they ask him to do something.
Right.
So if someone comes to his office, he climbs out the window and goes, come back in an hour when I'm not here. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, I see that. So the phone rings at the bar, Rebecca answers, and it's the doctor. And the doctor tells her that she isn't the reason that they can't get pregnant. So the assumption is that it's Sam's fault, and it just assumes that Sam is infertile.
Oh, dear. He, of course, is like, no, it's ridiculous. But then Carla does the maths. She goes, you've been with thousands of women, Sam. No, I'm just...
How many Father's Day cards have you had?
Yeah. It's, yeah, looking like bad news for Sammy there.
Still feeling very squeamish, Sam finally decides that he's going to go to the fertility clinic and have some tests. He's very apprehensive. We see him at the door, kind of peering through the window, and the receptionist is sat there looking back at him. And he eventually decides to go in. But when he does go in, he pretends he thinks that it's a dentist.
Yeah, which is a great line.
Yeah, probably drop that in there.
Yeah.
Do you have an appointment?
No. I was just in the building. I thought I'd stop by and say hi.
Hi.
Actually, I'm here for a cleaning.
This is a fertility clinic. What precisely would you like us to clean?
Obviously, the receptionist recognizes that he's scared, and this isn't the first time she's seen a squeamish, scared guy come in and have to do a fertility test. He decides to then ask her if she can write a fraudulent note saying that he actually has high sperm count and that everything's fine, which obviously she doesn't.
To whom it may concern, Sam Malone has a very high sperm count. Go ahead and have plenty of sex with him.
She then offers Sam an instant appointment with the doctor. And once Sam goes in, another man walks in who apparently has just stopped by to say hi. We all know what he's in there for. We all know he's a scared, timid, squeamish guy.
Yeah, it could be worse. Could be there for, forgot what the actual procedure is, prostate exam, which men of Sam's age probably should get.
Yeah.
Oh, this is us trying to make the listeners squeamish.
We come back to the bar and Rebecca is telling everyone that she's as ripe as a cornfield. I've literally never heard that phrase, and I don't think I ever want to hear it again. Then we see Cliff bring in some pizza and a cake. He's brought it in for Paul.
Because he's left out, hasn't he? Being there.
Yeah. And they ask, you know, where is he? He says he just got out of the shower. He'll be down in a few minutes. He's just toweling himself off. And we find out now that this is what puts Norm off his pint. This is the only thing that makes him stop drinking his beer.
It's the sight of a damp pot. Well, was it you I was talking to where I went, people don't like the word moist, but I think damp is worse.
Damp.
Moist can have positive connotations, like a nice moist slice of chocolate cake, but you're not going, would anyone like a damp cake?
No one wants a damp cake, do they? Speaking of cake, there you go, what a segue. Speaking of cake and pizza, Norm convinces Cliff that they should eat the pizza, and they suggest putting the cake away in the office because, you know, to avoid temptation. But it takes both of them to take it into the office where they both then openly admit that they're going to eat the cake as well.
It's one of those big Costco cakes, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Are good.
With the frosting. Someone at work recently bought a big Costco cake for her daughter, for her daughter's birthday. And they're huge. So they were eating cake twice a day for like 3 days. And then she went, now it's my son's birthday too, and he's going to want his own cake.
Then in the evening, Fraser completes the process of finalizing his will, carries his document in a sealed envelope. He then indulges in a night of drinking at the bar, consumes way more than he intended, and he starts to offer some critical comments about Carla's waitressing skills, which prompts her to call him a cab. She says, you know, will you give me a tip in your will? He says, I've tipped you many times.
And given you more than you deserve.
We get different people asking, you know, will this be in the will? Can I have this in your will, et cetera, et cetera. Woody says that he doesn't want a leafy sweater, which is what Fraser happens to be wearing.
None of those sweaters, please, Fraser. You can keep them.
Then Paul comes back to the bar, and we see Norm and Cliff apologizing to him as they have food in their mouth, obviously overindulged in everything that they had planned to give him. They offer to buy him a beer. He quickly sees through this and realizes that they've eaten the cake and the pizza that were intended for him. What a pair of gits.
That is the collective noun for gits, yes.
Gits.
Yeah.
Pure gits.
It's such a British profanity, isn't it?
So Sam arrives. He's got his results in hand. He wants Carla to open them. He's scared to see what it says. And then we see Carla burn the results. But are they the results? More on that later.
We'll get on to that. It's an interesting thing because you could tell he's conflicted about whether he wants to look at it or not, because it's not necessarily it isn't something he can fix, you know, if he wasn't fertile.
No.
So why would the only reason he'd want to know is to inform Rebecca, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, completely understand Sam's, what would you say, Sam's hesitation.
Hesitation, apprehension.
Apprehension, good word, yes. But we do get, as you alluded to, the answer.
Aye. So Fraser's cab arrives. He picks up his will off the bar, which we then notice is exactly the same type of manila envelope, I guess it is.
Yes.
And he walks off. And then we fast forward many years later, where we realise that Fraser has since passed away. Lilith is there, obviously done up to be much older, and they're there with their child, who's obviously now much older. And as the guy that opens up the letter to read the will.
Executor of the will?
Executor, that's it. I didn't know the official title.
He opens it up, but before we find out who gets the sweaters, let's talk about the cast list.
Oh, go on then.
Keep on your toes, audience. Paul Wilson as Paul Craypants. Julie Lloyd as receptionist. She also appeared in Newhart, Hill Street Blues. Oh, God. You Devil. Matt Locke, Quantum Leap, Days of Our Lives, Coach, and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Donald Houghton as Lawyer. He also appeared in Dark Shadows, The Waltons, Up in Smoke, The Paper Chase, Nightwing, The Little House on the Prairie, The Night the City Screamed, Thou Shalt Not Kill, Mae West, Falcon Crest, Airwolf, Soul Man, Brothers, L.A. Law, Dancing with Wolves, Quantum Leap, The Bodyguard, Deep Space Nine, and many more. John Serembe as Man at Clinic. This was his film and TV debut. What a debut!
What a debut!
What a debut! He also worked on Conqueror AD 1086, Scrubs, Players at the Poker Palace, and Safety Action Team Go.
Safety Action Team Go.
What a CV.
What a title.
Rob Newkirk as Adult Frederick. He also appeared in Beverly Hills Bunts, Hunter, LA Law, Night Court, Hooperman, Alf, Tour of Duty, Knots Landing, The George Carlin Show, The Client, Picket Fences, House of Good and Evil, and many more. We've got Philip Pullman as Phil, and many uncredited barflies. Turns out there's so many more than I've been listing, and I'm just going to stop listing them now.
What on earth is Beverly Hills Bunce?
I mean, that's a Google.
Right, here we go. Norman Bunce, a gruff and somewhat ethically questionable detective, leaves the inner city and heads to the sunny climes of Southern California, where he opens up a detective agency. I mean, it doesn't sound terrible.
That's the plot of Beverly Hills Cop. We're with a detective.
Yeah. The header on the poster says, Holmes and Watson, Lone Ranger and Tonto, Batman and Robin, Norman and Sid.
Nice.
So that's where they're putting themselves.
Speaking of Beverly Hills Cop, have you heard Eddie Murphy's coming back
for
another
boy.
Beverly Hills Cop film? I mean, I think it's time for us to do the theme tune. Good stuff.
Good shiz.
Anyway, back in an unknown point in the future, the envelope is open. What's the thriller in Manila? it's a whop of a line.
I am sorry about the passing of your husband, Lilith. Fraser was a good man, and we will all miss him.
Thank you.
Well, I now have the unhappy task of reading your late husband's will.
Are you okay, Mother?
Yes. Thank you, Fraser.
Sam Malone's sperm count is well within normal range.
That damn bar.
And the chagrin on Lilith's face.
gold. Pure gold.
Which, interestingly, so far in the future, but Lilith and Fraser, well, they say, sorry to hear about your husband. You assume it's her current husband at that point in the future, but it might be.
Aye, that's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
We're keeping it vague to avoid spoilers, but you listeners know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's trivia time. What have you got for us here, Cliff? What you got? cakey fingers all over it. You're a disgrace, man.
Disgusting.
That's, it was one of yous.
It was getting one of yous.
Well, thank you for that. Oh, this, it's all sticky. You don't want a sticky envelope. No.
No one wants that.
But as usual, before we open our letters, we have to give a shout out to our norms on Patreon. So this goes out to Treb Curry. If you want that special norm treatment, then check out our Patreon page for that and so much more. Also, someone worth giving a shout out to, Linda. You know what you've done with posting Carla's earrings and your barflies. Good work, Linda. Thank you.
Go on, Linda lass.
Yeah, always look forward to your posts on social media, Linda. Keep them coming. As of November 2023, how many actors have played Frederick Crane?
What? Four.
Ooh, it's close, but it's wrong. It's good, but it's not right.
It's good, but it's not right.
It's six.
Ah, Chris, I had six in my head initially. I thought that might be a bit much.
Chris and Kevin Graves as a young child in Cheers. Trevor Einhorn and Luke Tarsitano throughout Frasier. And Jack Cuttmore Scott in the new Frasier show, and Rob Newkirk in the flash forward in this episode of Cheers.
Nice. What does Rebecca call her period?
Mr. Charlie, which...
Correct. Okay. Sure. I'm not sure where you got that from, but cool. We'll go with it.
I've heard many euphemism, like the communists are here.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Aunt Irma's visiting.
Aunt Irma? Wow.
It's a whole thing in the IT crowd. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm so stressed. Aunt Irma's visiting. And Moscow's, oh, do you not like her visits? Is she a bit much? I've got an aunt like that.
Oh, crikey. What flavour or what topping does the pizza have that Cliff brings in for Paul?
Pepperoni and olives come to mind.
Yes, pepperoni and olives. Big fan. Correct.
I think I've got a pepperoni and olives pizza in the fridge.
I have not. I do. I've got quite a nice dinner on for this evening, though.
Nice. Is it?
It's in the slow cooker.
Many cake.
It's a creamy pierogi chicken soup with rosemary bacon. Yeah, no messing about. It's business class, that is.
That is delightful. Well, it sounds delightful.
We don't mess about in this house of food. No, sir. I say that. I had a jacket potato last night, which is fairly standard, although it was the size of my face.
That's true. Yeah. Another question. What does Norm claim he and Cliff did without Paul? He's kind of teasing Paul a bit.
Oh, they went to McDonald's.
They did go to McDonald's, but yeah. What did they claim before telling him the truth that they went to McDonald's?
Oh, I can't remember that bit. I only remember the McDonald's bit, mainly because when I watched it, I was hungry and all I wanted was McDonald's.
Mm. Paul, well, for context, Paul went, you guys always do fun stuff without me. And Norm goes, hey, Paul, we just went hang gliding, hung out with the Miss Massachusetts finalist and drove a fire truck around for a couple of hours. Back, another letter. Ooh, this one's looks important, Troy. It's in an envelope and everything.
Ooh.
Let's open it. It's about Zencaster. That's nice. Yeah. It's the platform we use to do our podcasting. It's an easy one. We sound good. It's good for just, you know, video conferencing as well. I've used it to do a video conference other than Zoom. For your own podcast, hobby, whatever you want, really. We thoroughly recommend it. If you want money off, we all like discounts, don't we? Then go to zencaster.com/pricing and use the code NORM and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencaster paid plan. We've had a great experience with it so far and want to make sure you have the same fun and easy time. How special time? What we're having? Cake? Pizza?
Yes. To both.
I don't know what else we could have. I don't want to search fertility-themed drink. What about the cocktail Venus in Furs? Venus, of course, being the goddess for fertility.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Refreshing and beverage.
Yeah, I'll take one of those.
Lovely. So we'll drink up to that and celebrate good news for Sam and Rebecca. I guess they've just got to keep trying, you know. You'll get there.
Good luck to you.
You'll get there. Don't you worry about that. Halfway through season 10 now, so if news is going to happen, maybe it'll happen sometime soon. We're looking forward to it.
Watch this space.
In the meantime, thank you for listening. This has been Where Nobody Knows Your Name, a Cheers podcast.